This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Peace, blessings, and mercy be upon you all. Welcome back to our page. In this latest series of videos, we'll be unpacking the notion of salvation, or the forgiveness of sin. But in order for us to attempt to understand its forgiveness, we first need to familiarize ourselves with and explore the concept of sin. Agreed? In part one of the series today, we're going to be exploring the concept of both original sin and the inheritance of sin in the three major Abrahamic faiths, namely Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. We'll furthermore be touching briefly on the contrast between Paul's notion of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, peace and blessings be upon him, and the notion of individual responsibility and accountability for one's sins as upheld in the Torah and the Quran. Ready to get into it? Let's dive in. If we're going to analyze the notion of original sin and the inheritance thereof chronologically, we should really be starting with Judaism and its basis in the Torah, right? Instead, let's start talking about the elephant in the room, the Abrahamic faith that conceives of original sin and the inheritance thereof in a way that contrasts dramatically with the concept of original sin and its inheritance in the other Abrahamic faiths. I'm speaking, of course, about the popular Christian concept of the inheritance of sin from Adam and Eve. The Christian doctrine teaches that sin is an inheritance for all the descendants of Adam and Eve who perpetrated the original sin against God. In Romans chapter 5 verse 12, for example, Paul writes that it is through Adam and Eve that sin and death entered the world, and they are responsible for passing this burden on to all mankind as a result. In Paul's conception of the inheritance of sin then, mankind exists in a state of perpetual condemnation by God for the sin they inherited at birth. The Paulian view is thus that God is perpetually displeased with mankind simply by virtue of the inheritance of original sin. Paul is able to construct the need for an external savior to bring salvation to the people who would otherwise be incapable of earning forgiveness for the sin into which they were born. It is Paul who places the responsibility for the salvation of all mankind squarely on the shoulders of Jesus Christ, and more specifically, Christ's death. This, despite the fact that the Torah, the teachings of Jesus Christ himself, and the revelation that followed him, the Quran, explicitly contradicts Paul's notion for the inheritance of sin and his proposal that the death of one is necessary for facilitating the forgiveness of many. According to the biblical Old Testament and the Torah, for example, one discovers that it has been made abundantly clear that the child will not share in the sin of the parent, nor would the parent share in the sin of the child. The righteousness of the righteous will be credited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them. If man is born, as this verse suggests, without bearing the burden of sin of his father, how then can all mankind be born bearing the burden of the sin of Adam and Eve? And let's not discount the fact that God himself had already forgiven Adam and Eve. But I digress. It is only in the Paulian doctrine then that sin has become an inheritance from Adam and Eve, which condemns us all to hell at birth unless we are baptized. In contrast, the Talmud and the biblical Old Testament clearly state that sin, or the responsibility, therefore, is not inherited or transgenerational. A similar message is found in the Gospel, or the biblical New Testament. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, Jesus is recorded as having said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." This could not have been the case if the children inherited the sins of their fathers, and their father's fathers, and their father's father's fathers, all the way back to Adam, and were therefore already condemned to eternal damnation, right? By saying that the kingdom of heaven belonged to the little children, Jesus confirms that the hearts of children are pure, and that they are not guilty of transgression in the eyes of God, and bear no responsibility for the sins of their ancestors. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven belonged to the children, for they have goodness in their hearts. It is Paul who later suggests that one would be damned for hell, were it not for the salvation he invented through the blood of Jesus Christ. According to Jesus himself then, the children were never in need of any ultimate sacrifice or blood sacrifice to secure their salvation, because they were already pure, kingdom-hearted, despite Paul's suggestion to the contrary. In the Quran too, one reads that no bearer of burden will bear the burden of another, And even if a heavily laden soul calls another to carry some of its load, nothing of it will be carried. This flies directly in the face of Paul's assertion that Jesus could have died for the sins of mankind, as God makes it abundantly clear that no one man can carry the sins of another. No man can be sacrificed as a penance for another's sins. No man's salvation can be bought by the death of another. In the same way, that one man's burden of sin cannot become the burden of another. In Islam, then, every individual is responsible for their own sins, but also for their own good deeds and actions, which are rewarded by God based on individual merit and intent. The concept of inheritance of sin is thus entirely foreign to Islam, as it teaches that each person is born in a state of spiritual purity, but upbringing and the allure of worldly pleasures may corrupt us. Islamically speaking, all of us will be judged according to our deeds, for man can have nothing but what he strives for. Who receives guidance receives it for his own benefit, and who goes astray does so for his own loss. No bearer of burden can bear the burden of another. In Islam, then, as Jesus Christ himself, peace and blessings be upon him, taught, no child is born into God's disfavor or born marked for eternal damnation until he performs a ritual like baptism. It would appear then that Paul defied the very decree of God when he created an entire concept of salvation around the death of Christ for the sins of mankind. We have already established that according to both the Old Testament and the Quran, no man can be punished or put to death for the sins of another. According to Deuteronomy chapter 24 verse 16, every man shall be put to death for his own sins. And according to Exodus chapter 23 verse 7, God will not justify the wicked by way of the slaying of the innocent and righteous. Quite literally, God states that there is no justification for the wicked in slaying of the innocent, or rather, no forgiveness for the sins of the sinner through the death of the innocent, in this case specifically, the death of Jesus Christ. If you are wondering then how man can and should go about seeking forgiveness for his sins from God, or when children inevitably become responsible for the sins they fall victim to as a result of the allure of this world, do be sure to check out part 2 of this video series. In part 2, we're going to speak about forgiveness and salvation without the shedding of blood. All the best of blessings to you and your family. Jazakallah khair.